And we welcome you in to a Tuesday morning edition of My Car Guru. As we say good morning to the car guru, he's on the line with us, Lenny Lawson. Good morning, Lenny.
It's going to be a busy day today. You know, it's been such a weird time in the car business, not just for me, but for every new car dealer. It's been a really tough time for used car dealers.
Mm-hmm.
Used car dealers don't have the luxury of taking the bulk of trade-ins like a new car dealer does. You know, if I've got a couple hundred new cars out there on the lot, then most of the people, at least 80%, are going to have a trade-in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the biggest source of used cars for me and for most other car dealers. I have two lots, actually. One where we sell a lot of our cheaper used cars, ones with higher miles and stuff like that. And then, of course, the Gateway lot where we have, you know, both Nissan and Ford. And, you know, thank goodness we are able to generate a lot of our own used car inventory by trading. But used car dealers don't do that. They either buy cars from new car dealers that have been taken in as trade. That used to be the major source of vehicles. But, you know, in recent years, it's been the auto auction. And when I say recent, probably the last 15 years or so, it's been primarily the auto auction. New car dealers have, during that same time period, realized how lucrative the used car business is, and they just don't wholesale a lot of stuff off their lot. They find a way to sell it themselves. So, Tim, the result is a lot of used car dealers going out of business. I don't know if you've noticed any. There's one right across the street. He's always run a good operation across the street from Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
He's always run a good operation. He's a good used car dealer. But, you know, I talked to him the other day. He said, Lenny, I'm getting out of it. He says, I just can't get the cars. They're just not out there. You go to the auction and you have to pay over retail to get them. You know, so a lot of, you may see that a lot of used car dealers just closing up shop right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's been such an important, business for so many people over the years. You know, you couldn't at one time, if you wanted to open up a used car lot, you know, you just cleared a lot, put gravel on it, set up a trailer, and start selling cars. It got a lot more complicated than that about 30 years ago when the Motor Vehicle Commission started requiring dealer licenses. And but still, I mean, it was just you had to have a location, you had to have a sign, you had to have adequate capital, you had to pay a bond, for example, or put up a bond. I can't remember what all the different qualifications were, but you had to be established as a business,
mm-hmm.
and which included a sign and so forth. And so, you know, there were a lot of used car dealers. I mean, there was one on every corner at one time. And so, but today, it's a vanishing breed, Tim. You know, and that's not the only industry, you know, that's feeling that. We were at the beach last week, and a lot of shuttered businesses, Tim, especially restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that, you know, as people get out, that a lot of this will come back. And I think the used car business will start to come back. And but it has really put the hurts on dealers. I'm actually doing a 3-for-1 deal today. After we finish with the radio show, I have to go out and go to this person's house out in the county and look at three used cars, three potential trade-ins to trade in on one. We're seeing a lot of that, Tim, where people are actually taking advantage of the, you know, very high prices for used cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when interest rates get really low, you know, people start refinancing their houses, and the housing market tends to improve. Housing market is getting pulled in two ways right now, one with really high prices of building materials and lack of availability of houses, and then, you know, the other way is the low interest rates. It's really still driving driving people. I am getting worn out by my mortgage holder at my house right now. I mean, my rate's pretty good. I'm at 3.25%,
mm-hmm.
But they're saying that I can get 2.5% right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I refinance, of course, I just have like 8 years to go, but you know, there's such weird dynamics going on in the industry. The car business, the dynamics are strong in every regard, with the exception of new vehicle inventory, and that is really, really an issue right now. Although Ford is finally started building the 2021 Bronco. I've got, looking at pictures right now, Tim, of the assembly line up in Detroit where they're building these Broncos. Actually built on the same assembly line as the Ford Ranger. Basically the same platform, same engine, same frame. But it's called the Ford Michigan Assembly Plant, where 2- and 4-door Broncos are built. These Broncos are for the 2021 model year. Normally, they would be building right now for the 2022. You know, Tim, the 2021s could be more valuable. It's the first year, and there aren't going to be a lot of them. They're going to convert to 2022s pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So might be something that people buy and hold on to. They've got 125,000 sold orders right now. So the first 125,000 Ford Broncos that are built are sold already. And so if you're waiting on one to come in that you can buy, you're going to be in for a wait. It's probably going to be late 2022 before there'll be any kind of inventory.
Mm.
Now, what I expect to see, Tim, is capitalism to kick in. And a lot of these early reservation holders are going to see dollar signs, and they will be able to buy their Broncos for the MSRP price and turn around and sell it and make $10,000 or $15,000 online.
Right.
I truly believe that there will be that much markup opportunity.
Yeah.
For people who buy them, and then they'll just get in line again and wait for a 2022 model.
Hmm.
Sounds like a pretty good idea.
That sounds like something that could continue if, you know, if things don't improve, it could continue that cycle for a while.
Well, you know, things are going to improve. They're already saying that the flow of chips is going to improve and start improving in July. And by September, October, there should be a fairly normal flow of computer chips. I don't know. Shoot. They keep telling us different things. Abby's real excited, though. She's got. She ordered a 2-door Bronco with a 7-speed manual. She loves to shift gears, and hers will be. I think hers is a Badlands package, which is a pretty nicely equipped 2-door, black on black. I don't know what young people like about black on black. Seems like 90% of the Suburbans and Tahoes and Expeditions and stuff that you see are black on black. I guess they want to look like Secret Service agents or something. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we'll take our first break, and we'll be back here in just a minute.
And we're back here on My Car Guru for a Tuesday morning. You know, you mentioned Abby liking to change gears. I used to not mind it too much. I think she'll probably get over that, though, as she gets older. I know I did. A lot of people do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of over it. When I'm driving a sports car, I like to shift gears most of the time. Like, I can't imagine driving a Miata or a Porsche or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, some of these paddle shifters, a lot of cars that you buy have paddle shifters now. Those are those little plates, basically, that are just inside of your steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've wondered what those are it basically gives you some manual control over an automatic transmission. So, you know, when would you use that? Well, I guess when you're drag racing, you do that a lot, Tim, a lot of drag racing.
I don't drag race very much, no.
You know, I could see using it going through the mountains if your automatic transmission is not shifting quick enough, you know, as you accelerate to go up a hill, you know, changes in terrain, things like that. In a sports car around the track, they've proven that paddle shifters, basically a manual transmission that shifts, that you can shift automatically. Porsche calls theirs the PDK. But these are very sophisticated manual transmissions that will either shift automatically with the use of a computer. In other words, they don't have a torque converter built in, and they actually have clutches. Some of them have two clutches. And but your SUV that you're driving, if it has paddle shifters, it is simply an automatic transmission, and you are going into a manual mode to shift it. But when you're going around a racetrack, and which most people don't do, driving a sports car, they've proven that you can go a lot faster with paddle shifters, because you just can't push in the clutch and pull it back and put it in second gear or third gear or whatever as quickly as that those PDK transmissions can shift. So, you know, you can improve your shift times if that happens to be important to you. Hey, Timmy, have you ever been to Vermont or to the Northeast in general?
Oh, yeah, several times. My daughter lived in Maine for a couple of years, so we went up there. I went on a fellowship tour a couple of times and went up there and visited her a couple of times. So, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, all of those.
You know, when I think of Vermont and New Hampshire, I think that it's very similar to where we live. Is that not true?
It is. Of course, the winters are much worse, but overall,
I'm just talking about terrain.
Yeah, terrain.
You know, terrain and
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think Vermont and New Hampshire is probably a little bit more like Western North Carolina than it is East Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Fairfax, Vermont?
I don't think I've been to Fairfax. I don't remember going to Fairfax.
Okay. Well, I have to ship a car. Actually, it's going out tomorrow. It's a 1970 Karmann Ghia convertible, and it is going to Fairfax, Vermont. So this is a vehicle that I sold on the Bring a Trailer auction. Initially, I shipped the vehicle to Florida. Now, the guy lives in Vermont, but they have a vacation home in Florida, and he wanted the car shipped to Florida. So he paid for the shipping, and I sent the car to Florida. Well, he got the car and drove it less than 25 miles, and the engine failed. Yes. So when you sell a vehicle on Bring a Trailer or any type of auction site, you're selling it as is with all of its faults. That is a risky proposition, especially if you don't own a car dealership and can't fix stuff. And this guy obviously didn't. And, you know, he and I developed a good telephone relationship, you know, just going back and forth. And we have a lot of the same interests. He worked for his dad for his entire career, as I did. He is a car lover. His dad and he have restored a bunch of cars. Actually, he's a stonemason and builds monster fireplaces. And most of his time is spent fashioning these extremely large boulders into a fireplace and different types of structures, and it's just they use very heavy lifting equipment. Now, I've seen a lot of stone on fireplaces before, Tim, but not this big. These are the biggest. I mean, these are, most of the stones are almost as big as like a small desk, and but that's what he does for a living. So I shipped the car down there. It failed. He called me, and I don't think he was overly upset, because he knew, based on our conversations, that I wasn't going to leave him hanging. And so I said, well, take it to see if you can find a Volkswagen shop down there. They were in the, I can't remember, I think they were in the Daytona Beach area. And I said, see if you can find a Volkswagen shop. So he found one, took it in, and they found a pretty severe engine problem. I said, okay, here's what we'll do. I will get the car back. I will send somebody down there to pick it up. I'll bring it back to Tennessee, and I will fix it. And he said, I appreciate that so much. I'm just, it was basically he was buying it as a gift for his father. And so I said, I apologize, of course. And I said, just rest in the fact that it's going to be fine. Well, Tim, it was worse than I thought, and I ended up having to put a new engine in it, okay? And so I ended up eating that and finally got it done. And so tomorrow it's actually going to be shipped to Fairfax, Vermont, where he's at home now. And so how do you ship a car to Vermont? Well, there are some very reputable and disreputable shipping companies out there. One of the ones that I use for just single cars, if I'm going cross country, I'm going to do something different. But I use something called eShip. That's the big letter E, S-H-I-P. They do a lot of shipping of cars for people that are moving. But they also do a lot of vintage car shipping, you know, take cars to car shows and stuff like that. So I've used them several times and been happy. I shipped a car, a 32 Hot Rod. I don't know if you remember that 32 that I had, but I shipped it to Colorado using them. But this has become a lucrative business for a lot of young people have decided they're and you got to have a little bit of money because you got to buy a trailer and you got to buy a pretty nice truck, you know, and typically will have a diesel engine, something that has a pretty high towing capacity. But they're getting in the business of shipping vehicles and actually transporting vehicles. And they are hooking up with companies like eShip, who does a very detailed evaluation of the people. It's kind of like if you were an Uber driver or a Lyft driver, you have to go through an application process. Your car has to meet certain standards in order to be able to be a Uber driver. I've seen some pretty shady-looking Uber drivers before. But so far, the people that have that I've seen for this particular company are good. And they have a really extensive contract, which the car is completely insured, Tim, while it's being shipped. Once they pick it up, they are certified, they are bonded, they are insured, they have extremely high, better business ratings. They are, they have all types, like I say, of certifications that make you feel all warm and fuzzy when you're getting ready to ship a car. So that's who I used. And I've never had such quick turnaround. I called yesterday, finalized my contract yesterday. They're picking up the car tomorrow. Now, if you ship through somebody like one of these big trucking companies that actually use multiple loads or multiple vehicles on a single load, like Reliable Carriers, somebody like that. You may have seen Reliable Carriers going down the road. They drive big orange trucks, and they're real shiny and nice and everything. But they'll probably ship seven or eight vehicles at a time. And so the dispatching takes a lot longer. But since eShip is using drivers who are, you know, they own their own trucks, they own their own trailers, and there's a bunch of them out there that have been certified, you can get quick turnaround. So I contracted them yesterday. They're actually picking the car up tomorrow. And they will have the vehicle in Vermont within 2 days. I think that's a phenomenal service for somebody if you are worried about shipping a car cross-country or something like that. If you have any questions about this and need something transported or whatever, you're trying to figure out what to do, or you're interested in maybe selling your vehicle that you've had for a long time, you know, don't hesitate to give me a call. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020, and as usual, I'll be available to try to help you out, do whatever you want to do. So anyway, let's take our last break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Back here to wrap up My Car Guru for this Tuesday morning, and I was looking. That's a pretty good ride up to Fairfax, Vermont. That's in the up in the northwest area of Vermont, above Burlington there. That's the only area of Vermont I really haven't spent any time in. It's the northwest area, been in the northeast area. But that's pretty close to Montreal, almost to Canada, where Fairfax is.
Well, I would love to go into that area sometime. I have The farthest north I've been was Boston, and then that was, we flew there. So didn't get to experience, you know, the drive.
Well, you need to go to, you need to go to Bennington, Vermont, where the Hemmings Motor News is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
They are published up there.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I did want to mention that I had a customer call me the other day, and they were wanting to sell their RV. You know, we, Tim, we, our success rate on buying vehicles from people who contact us has been, it's close to 70%. So that means that when somebody says, hey, I want to sell you my car, we get together, we look at the car, we do an appraisal. We're buying about 7 out of 10. The other 3 are typically either changing their mind, or they're selling it to a friend or going to another dealer, or they get a better offer from like CarMax or KBB or something like that. But our closing rate is approaching 70%. A year ago, or let's say 2 years ago, we were lucky to buy 30% of the vehicles that we looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of the soaring used car values. People are shocked as to how much they can get for their vehicles. So if you have a vehicle, you have 2 extra cars or maybe 1 extra car, and it's been sitting in your garage and you're thinking about getting rid of it, for goodness sake, now's the time to do it. And this isn't going to last forever. I mean, these used car values are at the peak, and now's the time to call us. I mean, if you're interested, call me, 423-552-2020. Send me a text. I need your VIN number, 17-digit VIN number. Unless it's an older car, it could have 13 digits or 10 or fewer. Give me an opportunity, and we'll be glad to give you a cash offer for your vehicle. It does save us from having to go to the auction and buy cars. I'd much rather buy local trades than buy something that was traded in, you know, 1,000 miles from here. So anyway, if we can help you, we'll be happy to do that. And that's it, Tim. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, Lenny. And we'll talk again on My Car Guru coming up tomorrow morning.